God's divine appointment sometimes proceeds from man's disappointments. Welcome everyone, I'm McDaniel Phillips and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. So here's the situation. You are a follower of Jesus, wholly committed to pursuing a good and godly purpose. But as you attempt to move forward, you are stymied or frustrated by some apparent obstacle. The door seems to close each time you attempt to enter. What is going on here? Do you huff and puff and blow the door down? Or do you take a step back and size up the situation? Is this a disappointing dead end or a divinely appointed opportunity? In just a moment, Kenneth presents part 4 of the program titled, Going Forward.
Hello to all our friends who are listening in. We're now in part 4 and the final part of our series on going forward. What it means to be advancing along the path of life as God has shown to us. Based on Psalm 16 verse 11, you will show me the path of life. We may encounter crossroads, or we may encounter dead ends at times. And we're learning through scriptural examples what this means from God's perspective. We've considered a nation at a dead end yesterday from Exodus chapter 14. We're going to move on into the New Testament today, into Acts chapter 16. And here we have a mission at a dead end. This is about Paul's second great mission, which was launched from Antioch in Syria at the end of chapter 15 of Acts, where we read that Paul went this time with a brother called Silas. And in the beginning verses of chapter 16, we read that they came across a young man who was faithful called Timothy, who joined them on this second missionary journey. While his first mission partners, Barnabas and the young Mark, continued on a separate mission. In embarking on a second mission, it was logical for Paul to direct his attention first of all to revisiting the churches that he had pioneered and planted on that first missionary journey. And so we read at the end of chapter 15 of Acts, verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And in chapter 16, verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now the question at this point is, what next? It seems very logical to continue penetrating into the interior of that modern Turkish peninsula, or Asia Minor as we sometimes call it. And this is exactly what they did. In verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, so they pressed on from the underbelly, which is the southern coastal region of Turkey, to the interior regions. And that included the provinces of Galatia and Phrygia. Now it was while they were doing this, at that point in time and space, that something unexpected happened. And we read of this in the second half of verse 6. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. From the interior of Turkey, Paul must have set his strategic sights westward to the Roman province of Asia, which bordered the Aegean Sea and included the most cosmopolitan and strategic cities of the whole region. Cities like Ephesus. In fact, all the seven churches in Revelation were found in this region. So that was his likely plan and course of action, to press on westward toward Asia. And while they were going about it, we have this unexpected halt, and they found themselves stopped in their tracks, not by man or by the devil, but by the Holy Spirit. We have a very strong and most unusual word to describe the action of the Holy Spirit, whom we usually associate with leading or guiding us in a positive sense. But here, the description is this: they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. The word forbidden here literally means to cut short. It is to be restrained or to be withheld, to be kept from accomplishing your purpose. So they found themselves in a very unusual situation where they were prevented by God through the Holy Spirit to do something which is not a bad thing, but in fact a good thing to do, to preach the gospel in a most important and strategic province of Asia. Can anything be more baffling than that? So what we see here, firstly, is an aspect of the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance. In a negative sense, it's the Spirit's prevention or prohibition. He cut short or restrained and prevented them from going where they thought would be a good idea to go. But then we read of a second aspect of the Holy Spirit's guidance. It's the Spirit's permission. This is found in the next verse 7, but also given in the negative sense in their experience. Let's read it. Acts chapter 16 verse 7. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So here is a second aspect of the Spirit's leading. It's the Spirit's permission. And on this occasion, it's in the same negative way. They did not have the Spirit's permission to proceed along an alternative route or path which they had conceived. When one route or approach was closed, they did the next logical thing, which was to go on to the next obvious and available route. If the Spirit prevented them from pressing on westward toward Asia, they would simply move on northward, which was the only other major available approach, towards the province of Bithynia on the northern coast of Turkey. But as they did that, they encountered the same check by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit did not permit them. Now, we're not told exactly how this happened, how the Spirit forbade them, or how the Spirit did not permit them to go this way or the other. They could be guided or checked by the Holy Spirit indirectly through a closing of doors. There could have been a divine intervention through the constraint or the constriction of circumstances, which prevented them from making progress along that particular direction. Or they could have been directly restrained when they had no liberty of spirit to proceed in those obvious directions. And a good general rule to follow is, if we're in doubt, if there is a check upon our spirit, then don't proceed or wait till it's clearer. So we're not told exactly in what ways they were prevented, but we are clearly told who was the one behind it. So we see that this is not an opposition from Satan or the devil, neither was it an obstruction from men, but rather it's the orchestration of God through the Holy Spirit. And that makes a tremendous difference. We may sometimes be surprised at being frustrated while pursuing a seemingly good and godly purpose, just as they did here. And we need to discern the source of apparent obstruction or contradiction. This is not really a hindrance if it is of God. A stop sign can also be a signpost. Sometimes we are forewarned by a road sign which says this is a no-through road. But oftentimes in the path of life, there are no such signs until we get to the dead end of the road. If that is the case, if it is of God and not of men or of the devil, then a dead end need not be a terminal closing, but instead it can be simply a redirecting to another opening. And those who walk in step with the Holy Spirit will be able to discern and to respond accordingly. If it is of the enemy, then we should resist and overcome. But if it is of God, then we should keep moving and not turn back. Let's read on from verse 8 of Acts chapter 16. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Since they had been prevented by the Spirit from moving westward as well as northward, they took the only other way that was available, and that was the path between them, and that is to go northwest, to take the road to Troas all the way till it meets the Aegean Sea. Troas is the coastal town on the northwestern coast of Turkey, and it's like hitting Land's End on that northwestern corner of the entire Turkish peninsula. But in order to hit Troas, they had to pass by Mysia. And sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to bypass other destinations and drop alternate plans to get to the place where God would have us be. I'm sure for a time it looks pretty disappointing, but always remember that our disappointments are often God's appointments. They were divinely directed through a series of closed doors to this apparent dead end. But then it's not until we hit the Land's End of one continent in Asia that it's possible to see at all the beginning of another continent in Europe across the Aegean Sea. It's not till we are actually at the end of the road can we be shown the vision for the next step. What in fact happened was that they were brought right to the doorstep for the next open door. From a human standpoint, they seem to have detoured far from the original objective. But in reality, they had been ushered right to the brink of God's intended objective. The question then is, what do we really see? This point is brought home eloquently by the great 19th century English poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She wrote, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush aflame with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit down and pluck blackberries." How true that is for the many great missed opportunities. They abound everywhere, as God is everywhere, if we had eyes to see. But like Moses, only those who have the eyes of faith, who can see God, will take off their shoes at the sight of a burning bush, while everyone else around is much ado about nothing. They sit around and pluck blackberries. If Paul and his co-workers had not been clearly led by the Spirit of God, because they were men who walked in step with the Spirit, that is what they would probably have done too. They might just sit down and have a nice little holiday on this beautiful coastal town before heading back. But that's not what happened. From a mission at a dead end, we find that it led immediately to a vision at a dead end. For this is what we read in the next verse 9. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." While this was not the end of the road, it was the beginning of a new and more exciting journey. You will always observe that no time is wasted once everything is in place. God speaks and shows the way, and it's clear to everyone at once, so that they are able to move decisively with assurance and conviction. No more deliberation or debate was needed. That always happens when we are at God's place in God's time. He does not waste or wait a minute longer, and things begin to fall rapidly into place and to move according to His time and His plan. The dead end only represents the end of our own limited field of vision. It represents the limits or boundaries of our present horizon. And therefore, the dead end can be the means for opening our eyes to see new vistas which had hitherto not been seen before. It's what is sometimes called a paradigm shift. This means a total change in the way we see and think of things. It's a change in the assumptions that we have had and the vision that we have been following. God's plan for them at this point is to push on to Europe first, rather than to cover the rest of Asia. That will be for another time in the third mission, which we read about in the later chapters of Acts. And we find Paul eventually coming back to Ephesus and Asia and spending 2 whole years there, teaching daily so that it reached all across the province of Asia. So while it was a good idea to do that, as they were thinking, but God had better ideas. Not for now, but another time. So it's a matter of following God's time and space calculations instead of our own. It's a hard thing to start something, and it's harder to sustain or to carry on. But you know what is the hardest thing to do? It's to stop, because it often looks like a failure when you stop. From a human standpoint, Calvary was a great and tragic end and failure. But the cross was the end. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," from the cross, I suppose many people who were looking on would have sighed with concurrence. Yes, indeed, it's finished, it's the end. Except that there was a divine sequel of resurrection. And that meant that God's higher end and purpose was done and completed. The end meant completion or perfection, not a termination. And sometimes looking at the road ahead at a dead end, we see nothing more. But looking to God gives us the heavenly vision of what lies beyond the apparent end of the road, just as they did in Troas. Whether it is at a crossroad or a dead end, the practical question that most people would want to seek an answer to is this: how can we conclude that we have heard from God and are led by Him? This is in fact the phrase that we have just read in verse 10. "Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia." And here it is, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And all of us would say, we're not like Paul. I may not have great dreams or visions. So in honestly seeking to be led by the Spirit to go along God's ways, whether it's at a crossroad or at a dead end, how can I similarly conclude that this is what the Lord has called me to? Let me try to give you a very practical answer with an analogy. This comes through a confluence or alignment of three things. A confluence is a flowing together or a meeting of streams. Or we can think of it as an alignment of three points. Geometrically, it takes three points in alignment to be absolutely sure that it's a straight line. If you have two points, it's necessary, but it's not sufficient to ensure that it's a straight line, because you may still get a curve joining two points. You want to go by the shortest, the most direct straight line. You don't want to go by a detour on a curve. Or with an older illustration, when they had beacon lights to direct ships getting into the harbor through a narrow channel, the requirement is the same. You need at least two beacon lights for a line of sight. But if you want to make absolutely sure that there are no mistakes in the dead darkness of the night, when you can't depend on anything else that you can see, then you need three beacon lights to be aligned. And here is the application. Now, when we find these three points converging or in alignment, then you know that you're on the right track. The first one may be called a seed. That's a desire sown and grown in your heart from God, and it refers to an internal prompting. Secondly, there is Scripture and Spirit. That means a word from Scripture that is often quickened or made alive by the Holy Spirit, and that speaks specifically to the situation that you're in. We're not talking here just of the Bible as the inspired Word of God, but when it is quickened by the Holy Spirit, it also becomes an inscribed Word of God at that point in your life, in that particular situation. This speaks of spiritual pointing. And the third point of alignment needed is situation. This is when there is an opening or an engineering or arranging in the circumstances that you find yourself, so that a door is opened, a way is shown that you can actually take. And this is the external providing, or providence as we sometimes call it. So there they are. When you find them confirming or corroborating one another, the seed of desire, a word from Scripture quickened by the Spirit, and the situation falling into place, you can conclude that you're on the right track. Let me end by sharing something from another great missionary biography, Amy Carmichael. This remarkable Irish sister had a clear calling to foreign mission work. And in those days, the China Inland Mission was the great faith mission founded by Hudson Taylor. So she naturally had her eyes set on this mission and to go to China, which was the biggest mission field. But she was rejected by the CIM doctors because of health reasons. And that must have been a great letdown. But she had an open door to go next to Japan, where she served fruitfully for a time. But then she broke down physically and had to go home again. And finally, there was yet another open door, and this time to South India. And some estimated that she would not last there either because she had the same health problems and it's going to be made worse by the hot tropical climate. But contrary to all predictions, Amy Carmichael remained from the day of her arrival in India in 1895 till her departure to heaven in 1951. And for more than half a century, she never went home again. Was India her third choice? No, it was God's first choice. What about the apparent dead ends that she faced? One closed door simply led to the next open door. But there was one big, major dead end that she faced in her life. When she was in her 60s, on a very normal day, when she went to another town to survey some property to acquire, towards dusk, she fell into a pit which someone had dug which was not supposed to be there. She fell and was badly injured, but definitely not something that anyone would expect would keep her bedridden for the next 20 years of her life. If there was a dead end, surely that looked like it. But it wasn't. She pressed on with the work of the Lord, no doubt with some changes. But the most remarkable achievements of these last 20 years of her life was that she published 13 new books during those years that she was laid aside. And if you can get your hands on any of the books written by Amy Carmichael, do that and devour them, for in them you will find the true spirit of what it means to go forward in the will of God. And I trust through this series you have been tremendously refreshed by God's presence and be reached by His Word.
A dead end only represents the end of our own limited field of vision and horizon at present. God's plan requires a paradigm shift, a total change in your assumptions and vision. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And join us again tomorrow when Ken presents insights on bringing up believers. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road, Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments there or share some views with some of the other folks you see. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.